Coming up next, three signs you're in a dead-end job, and then is hybrid work catching on? And why Gen Z doesn't love remote work? And of course, we take your calls, and it all starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life. More money, more meaning is our goal for you. Let's get right to it. Three signs you're in a dead-end job, because now's the time to move if we move correctly. Okay, if we move correctly, now is an awesome time to move. It is a buyer's market for job seekers. The Great Resignation is not showing any signs of slowing. However, as we will keep you up to date on, I'm doing the work now because I'm a man of the people. You don't have to worry so much about your future because Kenny Boy is on the wall. All right? New data I'm going to be reporting on soon that a lot of people thought the grass was greener and they're realizing it's not. We'll break it down and why. But the reality is that the Great Resignation has not slowed. So now is a great time, but I want you to know what you're going for and why you're going, and so that when we cash in for more money, we are also experiencing that meaning that we all long for from work. But I want to give some of you who pretty much know you're supposed to move on, I want to give you some confirmation today. And we chose the word specifically dead-end job because that is, in fact, the right metaphor. If you've ever gone down a dead-end before and gotten really frustrated, meaning you didn't know it was a dead-end, you didn't see the sign, and you got there, there's very few things more irritating than driving a car to a dead-end. Yeah, come on. You got to do the 18-point turn, if you know what I'm talking about. If you do the dead end, that's like a super narrow alley. Who likes the 18-point turn while your wife's going, I told you it was a dead end. Come on. Now I'm preaching. Three signs that you are in a dead-end job and it's time to turn around and move on. Number one, you aren't experiencing meaning and purpose on a regular basis. In fact, you can't remember the last time you showed up at work and you left work and you went, that was a really good day. I saw my purpose. I connected my values to the work. I connected my values to the results. Purpose answers the question, why are we here? Right? As parents, we did this to our kids. We do it to our kids. Did you do that on purpose? Right? That means that there's a sense of intentionality attached to the word purpose, and that's why we use it the way we use it. And as it relates to purpose at work, can you see your why at work? That's why we teach talent, what you do best, your tools, if you will, passion, work you love. It literally creates high emotion. And then we see missional results. Missional means we care deeply, not just about the work, but the results. That's high emotion, high devotion. Talent plus passion plus mission equals purpose. And if you aren't spending, this is a ballpark idea to kind of help you get this if you're new to this concept. If you're not spending 75% or more of your day using your talent, performing passion, work you love, and producing results that connect to your values, that's mission. If you're not spending 75% of your day doing that, then you aren't experiencing meaning and purpose in work. And that is a dead end. You can only keep up with the zombie-like behavior for so long, because that's what will happen. If you don't have a spark, I like to call it the juice. If you're new to the show, you hear me say this all the time. Do you have the juice? And if you don't have the juice because there's no passion, there's no purpose in your work, you will eventually become a zombie. Second sign that you're in a dead-end job and that you need to turn around and get out is that you aren't recognized by your leaders for your unique contribution. You aren't recognized. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, there's two types of recognition. One is the private recognition. Hey, Ken, he's pop in my office real quick. Yeah. What's up, boss? Hey, listen, I just want to tell you something. I've noticed this. You're doing a good job in this area. You know, this is a private leadership employee conversation where the leader is recognizing a unique contribution on behalf of the worker. This is huge. This is what we all long for. We are all still little boys and little girls who essentially are looking around going, do you notice me? Do I matter? That never goes away. Now, the second type of recognition that I'm talking about here is public recognition. Doing the same essential thing in front of everybody on the team. Team meeting, and you shout somebody out, hey, doing a great job. This is what you've done. I've seen it. I've noticed it. And this is the leader doing this. Now watch what happens. As the leader does this, then the team will begin to do it as well. And when the leader makes a practice of recognizing people privately and publicly for their unique contribution, it becomes habitual. It becomes catchy. It becomes sticky. Because people go, oh, I know how that made me feel. I want to make somebody else feel that way. And then as you promote these people that have been following you, they will naturally do it as leaders as well. And here's what people want. If they don't feel noticed and valued, they will move on. And so if you're in a culture where you don't feel that, or you know for a fact, this isn't a feeling, it's a fact here. I want to really kind of focus on that idea here. This isn't a feeling. We need some facts here. That you are not being regularly recognized privately and publicly by your leader, this is not going to change. And you won't be able to keep going. This I can guarantee you. Now, third sign that you are in a dead-end job and it's time to turn around and move on. You do not have a coach-player type relationship or a mentor type relationship with your leader. Now, when I say that, some of you are cringing. But you're cringing because the idea of a relationship with your current leader makes you want to throw up. I get it. You got a horrible leader. But if you step back for a moment into your humanness and realize that we all need a coach. Everybody needs a coach. I would suggest that we all need coaches in multiple areas of our lives. Financial coach, life coach, career coach, exercise coach, nutritional coach, relationship coach. Come on. Not only do we need it, I think we crave it. I really believe there is a human craving for coaching. That's what I believe. So, a recent study of more than 600 U.S. businesses with 50 to 500 employees, 63% of leaders said it was harder to retain employees than hiring them. Harder to retain than hire. So I've been talking to you, the worker, but there's leaders watching and listening today. If you don't get those three things as a leader, you won't retain people. So coming up, I'm going to talk about the solution. What do we do here for ourselves and as leaders, what do we do for others? Stay tuned. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. All right, so what's the solution? If we now have seen the signs that we're in a dead-end job, what do we do? Like, what's the extraction plan look like? Because I know some of you are going, wait a second, Ken. What if my leader is unaware that they've created a dead-end situation? That's a very mature question. Now let's talk to leaders that are watching and listening to the show. If you aren't helping people see meaning and purpose in their work, if you aren't recognizing people for their unique contribution, if you aren't coaching and mentoring, I mean really doing it, having a true coach mentor relationship with your people, you're going to lose them. Remember, people leave leaders, not companies. Some of you are going, wait a second, Ken. Whoa. I'm a leader. I'm not sure I could agree with that. Sure you can. Because watch this. They don't leave you because of maybe something that you've done. They may leave you for what you haven't done. And these three things, these three signs, are three major areas where leaders don't do something and people leave because you didn't, or what you didn't do. They leave because of what you didn't do. So I want you to make sure you get this. And folks, let me just hit this. This is as simple as it gets. For the employee, this is as simple as it gets to go, wait a second, am I in a dead-end culture? For leaders, how do I engage people? We talked about the data. A recent study of more than 600 U.S. businesses with 50 to 500 employees, 63% of the leadership said it was harder to retain employees than hiring them. Why? Because they're not engaged. The key to retention, leaders, is engagement. All right. So two takeaways, because I know I have a diverse audience. Employees, you've seen one or two or all three signs that you're in a dead-end environment, but you don't want to give up yet because you haven't had a real conversation with your leader about these things. And I always recommend this because I believe that poor leadership is not necessarily a guarantee that you are working for a bad person. They may not even know. In fact, I would tell you, I think this is the majority of the problem. Not bad people, poor leaders. So employees, what do you do if these signs are showing up? The three signs, again, don't experience meaning or purpose in your work, you aren't recognized for your unique contribution, and you don't have a coach-mentor relationship with your leader. What do you do? You need to have a conversation about a growth plan. Notice nowhere in that sentence did I say have a conversation about getting a raise. This is where people screw up. We've already acknowledged that we've got poor leadership. If these signs are showing up, folks, we already know we've got a poor leader. The last thing you want to do is put a poor leader on the defensive. Then they really act up because they don't even know how to lead. Then you put a poor leader on the defensive and you know what it turns into? A dumpster fire. Let's avoid dumpster fires. Even a poor leader has a hope for realizing something when it's shown to them in the right posture. How do we do this? Hey, I'd like to sit down and talk with you about a growth plan. I'd like to work with you. You're my leader. A couple of things I'd love to kind of work through. What are some things that I can do to be better? Where are some weaknesses, weak areas, maybe some areas that I have some strength in, but I could add some greater value through some certifications or skills or experiences. What do I do there? And so we want to lean into that. And then we tie it to, once they begin to give us feedback there, hey, how can I now get better and then add more responsibility, drive greater results? How do we measure those results and tie them to my comp plan? That's how we have that conversation. Now, leaders, if you aren't focusing on developing your employees and giving them a path to a better life, you are going to lose them. And I told you how to do it, flipping the signs. If they don't experience meaning and purpose, you better help them see their why. Get the Get Clear career assessment. Help them see it. Are they on the right seat of the bus? Get them on the right seat of the bus. Recognize them regularly and begin to coach and mentor them. They will stay with you a lot longer. So that's how employees and employers make sure we don't have people on dead ends. Okay, let's get to it. I got to cover a couple of issues in the news. Let's go. All right, so first headline, this is from Forbes magazine. 2 years into the pandemic, almost twice as many workers prefer hybrid schedules to remote work. I told you so. I've been saying this on the program for a while. The guys and gals in the booth know I said this was going to happen. I said remote work is going to wear off. You know, like working in sweatpants and eating ice cream at lunch can only sustain your soul for so long. I fully and readily admit that's a pretty awesome thing, I would guess. Haven't done it. Would not be good for me because I really love ice cream. And I love me a great sweatsuit. Is that wouldn't be good for me. And so let's dive in. Why is this happening? No surprise to me, but we'll break it down. Here's what's going on. Employers are now enforcing return to office policy. Some are saying you got to be in all the time. But many are adopting a hybrid model, which if this is new language to you, it's very simple. It means you can work from home or remote some, and you need to be in the office some. And this is, you know, we'll talk about how this is breaking down. New data from Gallup shows that the hybrid work schedule is the most preferred arrangement. 60% of such employees who can work remote say that they would prefer to work in the office some. Versus 32% said they still want to work remotely all the time. Google, what are the big box, kind of big tech companies who have the most ability and versatility to work remote? What are they doing? Google has shared their model where most employees will be coming in 3 days a week. Citigroup has also said that employees should return to the office at least 2 days a week. Microsoft told employees in mid-February they would have until March 28th to move to a hybrid arrangement that was agreed upon with their managers. Verizon is less prescriptive. Verizon said they plan to launch a hybrid work forward plan on April 1st. And Chief Human Resources Officer Samantha Hammock says it includes no set schedule. But what they are saying is, with your leader, this is a direct quote from Verizon to their employees, you define what remote or what hybrid work looks like based on your own needs and your team's needs. So that's very interesting. Here's what's going on. People are going, I got to have some human engagement. That's the source of this. We can't forget that we are relational human beings. Now, continuing this trend, next headline, because the younger generation, this is fascinating to me. Generation Z, raised on technology, aren't the biggest work from home fans. Now, Generation Z are those that are 25 years old or younger. Okay, so they're younger than the millennials. A recent survey found that they're the least likely to want to work remotely. Chris Salviati of The Apartment List, which surveyed 5,000 employed U.S. adults, said that Gen Z are at a stage of life where the social component of work is most important to them. If you look at Gen Z, millennials, 51% of millennials said that remote work was more desirable than in-person work. 54% of Gen X, that's my generation, said that remote work was more desirable. And then two-thirds, if I can remember, I'm not good at fractions, that's what, 66% of baby boomers said remote work was extremely desirable. What's going on? I think the takeaway here is older workers, they got kids, they want to be home around their kids. Gen Z's going, hey man, I kind of want to go to the reception after work. I want to go hit the bar. I want to go out to eat. And I would say one other factor. They've been stuck on their freaking computers and cell phones their whole life, and now they're craving relationship. Back to this relationship component. Well, there you go. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you make more money and experience more meaning. There's been a lot of buzz all over the internet, social media, about this guy, Phil from ZipRecruiter, and it's basically always the same thing. Thank you, Phil, and exclamation points, and all of the positive emojis. Why? Well, because Phil is with ZipRecruiter, and ZipRecruiter's number one hiring site in the United States. It's a free service, and they get more people hired than anybody else. Why I endorse them. Stephanie W. said, Phil, you made my job search priority, and you stuck with me throughout the entire process. I couldn't have done it without you. So if you want Phil in your corner, you need to go and talk to the folks at ZipRecruiter.com. Say, I want to talk to Phil, ZipRecruiter.com, ZipRecruiter.com. All right. I said I was going to answer a question. I'll do it as briefly as I possibly can, because boy, oh boy, this could be an entire show. One of our chat room participants on YouTube. Watching live is MR3D-Dev. And he says, why is a poor leader in a leading job in the first place? He then goes on to say, seems like poor leaders are the most common thing. Now, this is fun. Eric B. chimes in. He goes, well, I'll take a stab at this question before Ken does. He types, I think leaders are often picked mostly because of time and service. No matter how lacking they are in leadership qualities, they happen to be the one who's been with the company the longest. And it's easier to hire within than having to go explore other options outside of the department of the company. Now, I'll tell you this, Eric B. That's one of the things that does happen. Well said, sir. But I'm gonna if I can, go a bit deeper into the problem. The question, why are poor leaders in leading jobs in the first place? And it's one reason. They have poor leaders above them who didn't care or didn't know, didn't care to train them, to develop them as leaders, or didn't know how to do it themselves because they were never developed by another leader. In other words, the people above them don't care or don't know. And can I suggest to you that those two little factors are intertwined too? Because when a leader knows that they don't know how to lead well and they don't take the intentionality, because now this is all on them. It's not on them that they weren't developed and trained properly, but now they're leaders. And when they know they're not good leaders and they don't intentionally decide to grow as leaders, what happens is they have accepted their plight and they say, you know what? I'm not a good leader, but I don't want to work hard at it. I don't want to do the necessary dirty work, the grind to become a good leader. And so it just is what it is, and that turns into apathy. So frustration and fear turns into apathy. The don't know turns into don't care. And this is why you see horrible attitudes of leaders. And I'm not making excuses for it, but I really want to break this down for people. If you're following me and you realize, I think Ken's on to something, that the leader who doesn't know becomes the leader who doesn't care, I think you're right, Ken, but not 100% sure. And I go, okay, let me bring it home for you. You ready for this? If you suck at something and you continue to suck at it, how motivated are you to do it? I'm going to say it again. I'll put it a different way. Try to keep it G-rated for some of you folks. If you are awful at something, initially we are usually always awful. I know that, Alex, when I first started to learn how to ride a bike, I was awful. But I know that my mom and dad taught me how, and I stuck with it, and I applied the lessons. And you know what? I don't know how you measure if a person's a good bike rider, but I felt pretty darn good that I was a good bike rider. But if I rode the bike the first time, as I did, and I was awful at it, and I wrecked and skinned my knee, and I didn't listen to my mom and dad's advice, and I didn't get back up on the bike, and I didn't try to get better at riding the bike, and I stayed as an awful bike rider, watch this. I'm not going to get back on the bike again, and I'm never going to ride. Now let me bring it back. Horrible leaders. They were never taught how to lead in the first place. They then realize they don't know how to lead, but instead of getting after it and going, I'm going to go figure out how to lead. I'm going to learn. I'm going to read. I'm going to listen. I'm going to watch. I'm going to go to leadership conferences. I'm going to sit with other good leaders and have them mentor me. Instead of doing that, they just go, well, I'm an awful leader. Guess what? It's just like the kid who never learned to ride the bike, and they gave up on it, and that's what leaders do. They give up on trying to lead well because they go, every time I try to be intentional as a leader, I realize that I suck at it, and none of us like to do things that suck. We just don't. So watch what happens. The leader who doesn't know how to lead if they're not intentional to get good at leading, guess what? They become the leader who doesn't care. Because that's what we all do. I'm going to tell you something. That's good. I'm going to tell you something. That's gold. And what's the application to those of you who are non-leaders? If you want to get promoted and move up in your career, I got news for you. You will have to lead at some point. It's rare that career and professional promotions don't involve getting promoted into leadership. So you better figure this out now, because here's what I know about the human psyche. If we aren't intentional to grow and we stay in a place of failure and frustration, we then become people who don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I remember early on when I had buddies in college that said, Ken, you want to come play golf? I'd be like, I don't like to play golf with you guys. How don't you want to play golf? Because I'm awful. Because every time I do it, I dig the club in the ground and almost break my forearm. I lose every ball that I have. All of you guys are good. And I watch you guys hit the ball right down the middle of the fairway. And then I get up and it's a reminder of how awful I am. Like, no, who wants to do that? The answer is nobody. Until it involves bourbon and cigar, which is why I play golf now. So I don't care how good I am. I mean, that's not true. I'm being a little ridiculous. But wait a second. If you have a leader who's in that situation, maybe you can lead up. Maybe you can have a little empathy for your leader. Recommend a book to him. Recommend the Entree Leadership book, the Entree Leadership podcast. Recommend John Maxwell's writings. Recommend Pat Lencioni's leadership stuff. Hey, say, hey, I'd love to go to this conference. You want to go to this conference? You never know what they might pick up. But more importantly, to those of you who aren't leading now, but you will eventually lead, if you develop yourself as a leader, you can win as a leader. It is a skill that can be learned. Now, do some of us have more talents that lend to being better to leader? Yes, I still believe in what I teach, that we use what we do best, talent, to do work we love, passion, to produce results that matter, me mission. But listen to me. While I've told you all many times on this show that I have no mathematical abilities, and I don't, that part of my brain is dark. I mean, fifth grade math is about my limit. And then if it's in a word problem, I'm totally useless. So I can't learn to be good in math. Why? Because I don't have the mental capabilities to be good at it. I just don't. But I can learn to lead. You know why? Because leading is about serving. Serving. You want to be good as a leader? Let me give you the two questions you need to ask on a regular basis that guarantee you will be a good leader. You ready? Weekly, ask your people, how are you doing? That's a personal question. Know what's going on in their personal life. How are you doing? Not, how you doing? As you cruise by in the hallway. Second question, how can I help you win in your job? Whew. Leadership just got simple because you were serving people. All right, epic rant. I got to get a drink of water and I got to get out of here. You matter. You have what it takes. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. Ever wondered how to win in business and leadership? I'm George Camel, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear exceptional advice, origin stories, and practical strategies for success. These weekly conversations with America's brightest business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs will help you succeed in all areas of business and leadership. Listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.